All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today is another crossover Wednesday episode previewing this Week 13 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. I am joined by the host of Locked On Ravens podcast, Matthew Stevens, as well as Jacob Troxel.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the crossover edition. We are the Locked On Ravens, and we're joined over here by Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, my friends.
Excellent, excellent. We were talking right before the podcast started, not really where either one of these teams expected to be. The Falcons 4-7, the Ravens now at 6-5, a new quarterback, some questions on who's starting this week, who isn't starting this week, who's going to get fired in the midseason. Seems like a lot of the same questions for both teams, weirdly enough, despite both teams maybe having kind of playoff aspirations at the beginning of the year, has not really necessarily panned out quite that way after all.
Well, at least for the Ravens, they can say they're still in the hunt. You know, I think they're a game and a half behind the Steelers in the AFC North, so they still got a shot. They got a fighting shot, and we'll see what sort of Lamar can do. Maybe pull a little bit of an RG3, what we saw back in 2012, where the Redskins were sort of looking out of it midway through the season and then got hot at the end. I don't really think that's the case for the Falcons. Mathematically they have a shot, but they basically have to run the table. And based off of how they've played the last couple of games, that seems highly, 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 highly unlikely.
Yeah, absolutely. At 4-7, you know, the best record you can have, obviously, is 9-7, and the NFC over there, not exactly friendly to that, and you need a lot of help. I mean, you got Minnesota, you got Washington there, 6-4-1 and 6-5 for the Falcons. You know, Baltimore right now is sitting pretty firmly in the sixth seed. Indianapolis is the only team that's currently tied with them there, but they hold the conference record over top of them, 6-3 to 5-4 for Baltimore and Indianapolis. So yeah, I mean, very much like both teams really kind of, you know, really kind of need to win out essentially. But Baltimore, if they win out, pretty much assured a spot. Not really the case for Atlanta, who as of right now I see as the 11th seed. So, ouch. Well, Aaron, let's go ahead and turn to this specific matchup. Obviously, you know, neither team's super happy with how they're panned out right now. But, you know, for the Falcons, again, we were talking right before the podcast, it seems like a team that just doesn't really get a whole lot right consistently. I mean, the last 3 weeks, they've scored an average of a little over 17 points a game. And it's against the Cleveland Browns, the Dallas Cowboys, the New Orleans Saints. I mean, is Matt Ryan the quarterback that everyone thought he is? Is this offense just having issues with other things? Is the defense quite as bad as it looks like? And it does not look all that great.
Well, you know, I, of course, Ravens fans and Falcon fans have been at each other's necks for 10 years with Matt Ryan versus Joe Flacco. So I will, you know, obviously I'm going to sit here and say that I don't think that's really a conversation or debate anymore, but I think Matt Ryan's been solid this season. He was a little down against Cleveland, but for the most part, he's been solid. He hasn't really been the issue with the Falcons' offensive stagnation. A lot of it has been due more to sort of turnovers or stagnating in the red zone, or, you know, they've had a lot of issues on the offensive line. And it's going to be tough this week going up against this Ravens defense, who's arguably the best defense in the league, certainly from, you know, points allowed and yards allowed, they've been that. And the Falcons have been struggling to score points against some of these other teams that have, you know, competent defenses, but not necessarily world beater defenses. It does seem like this Ravens matchup is going to be even a tougher hill for them to climb. And particularly if they can't get better production from their offensive line, particularly you look at last week's performance against the Saints, where the Saints were able to hit Matt Ryan 13 times and sack him 6 times. And even though Matt Ryan had a pretty effective performance in that Saints game, you know, as far as his efficiency goes, that's just not a recipe for success. And this Ravens pass rush with guys like Smith and Suggs And, you know, I don't even know who else they got, but I'm very much concerned about all their pass rushers. And if they're effectively able to sort of get after Matt Ryan, then it's going to be a tough day for the Falcons. And this has been an issue for them in the Steve Sarkisian run era, where they face better defenses and typically they tend to struggle to put points on the board. And so, you know, to make a long story short, if they're struggling to get more than 17 against these previous three opponents, then I think they're certainly more than likely to struggle to get to that benchmark against this Ravens defense. And given the struggles of the defense, they're just not capable of winning games 17-14. So their offense really needs to carry them in this game and do what it can to try to put up as many points as possible in order to sort of, you know, outpace Lamar Jackson in that Ravens offense.
Well, I know, you know, Jacob and I have been discussing this on our show for all season, but, you know, every time we do a crossover episode, everyone goes, oh man, that pass rush, like, you got to be really afraid of that pass rush. The reality is they could have zero or they could just murder Matt Ryan all game long. We don't know which version of this team is going to show up in terms of the pass rush, especially. I mean, they've been so inconsistent. And if you look at the box score for Sunday against Oakland, you know, you go, all right, well, three sacks. I mean, man, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that came in essentially garbage time when Oakland had to throw deep in order to really have a shot at staying in the game. I mean, it was by one player who just over three plays got three sacks. The rest of the game, I mean, they weren't able to sniff Derek Carr. And then you look at a few other games and you go, wow, you didn't do it there, you didn't do it there. And then you see the 11 sacks against Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans and go, ah, okay, I see what happened. You boosted the stats against the Titans. And the rest of the season has been decidedly mediocre, which, you know, It has been. And I mean, right now they're ninth in sacks per pass attempt. And again, that's with an 11 sacks game in one individual game. Yeah, they're probably closer to midway in there. And when you look at, you know, Atlanta's offensive line, I mean, obviously you have Alex Mack. Baltimore knows him well from his time in you know, Cleveland. You've got Jake Matthews, another, you know, all-star type of player. You know, everyone else maybe necessarily isn't the names that Ravens fans would recognize, but, you know, Pro Football Focus has the Falcons offensive line outside of Wes Schweitzer, which you know, with a name like that, they typically don't fare well for some reason. Just like the weirder the name for an offensive line, it's your Max, it's your Stanleys, it's, you know, your Yondas. Those guys do well. Schweitzer, I don't know, man. but everyone else on the offensive line seems to be doing pretty well. I mean, the lowest score outside of Schweitzer is a 64.9, and that's the right tackle, Ryan Schrader. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like the offensive line's awful. It just is this offense something that, you know, with Julio Jones and you know, Calvin Ridley, do they have to go deep? Can they really hit anything underneath that, or is it really just like a big play offense, but nothing else outside of it?
No, I wouldn't say that. You know, Hooper's been a big part of their sort of short and intermediate game and sort of overtaken Mohamed Sanu, who was their primary receiver in that regard in previous years. Ridley makes plays all over the field. Jones makes plays all over the field. You know, as for the offensive line, the issue has been that they've given up the second most hits in the league. You know, I like Pro Football Focus. I think they're a great resource, but I can't always agree with all the grades that they give. And Schrader has really struggled this year. He seemed to be coming on a little bit better, but, you know, had a really rough outing against the Saints this past week, which is typical going up against Cameron Jordan. But for the most part this season, he's had a very down year, and their guard play hasn't been great. So, you know, I think the offensive line has been very suspect as far as the Falcons' offense goes. It's been a big reason why their running game hasn't been very effective this year, in addition to Devontae Freeman being out for most of the year. So, you know, when you'd say things like the Ravens' pass rush may not be as formidable as it may look on paper, that's, you know, that's certainly a positive as far as Falcon fans are concerned with this week's matchup, that maybe it's not going to be as big an issue. But, you know, this Ravens defense is known for being very stout and not giving up a ton of points. And whether that's, via getting pressure on the quarterback or stopping the run or just, you know, getting off the field on third downs, whatever the case may be. And they're a disciplined defense. It's going to be hard for the Falcons to, you know, put a bunch of points up. If they can, it'd be great. I think they have the potential too. And I think it starts with the offensive line. And then, you know, if the Falcons can find ways to get their playmakers the ball and allow those guys to make plays. They had opportunities this past week against the Saints, but they, a lot of fumbles, you know, when they were driving down the field, they were effective at moving the ball against the Saints, but they just couldn't finish drives. And I think that's going to be the key for them this week, to play a clean game and find ways to get the ball in the end zone. All right, guys, there's more to come on this episode. We'll be still talking about this Falcons-Ravens matchup, but I do want to let you guys know about the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a Locked On daily podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including the Locked On Hawks podcast with host Brad Rowland. Find those wherever you get your Locked On podcast, your NBA team every day. Now, we've got two teams this week that are looking to improve their performance and get a big confidence boost for their performances down the stretch. But maybe you guys are out there looking for the same boost in performance and that extra confidence boost in the bedroom. You can do so by heading over to BlueChew.com. That's right, blue like the color blue, because BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. This stuff works, and you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as any pill, so you can be ready when the opportunity arises up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in discreet package, and no more in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than any pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On podcast and listeners by visiting BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code Locked On. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, you know, about Devonta Freeman as well, because I think just from the outside looking in here, it seems to me like when you lose that type of physical runner and you have two backs behind him that can't quite replicate that, they don't have quite the same skill set, I think it takes a lot out of this offense. And, you know, just looking at the Falcons' four wins here against the Panthers, Buccaneers, Giants, and Redskins, those are all teams that are in the bottom half of the league in terms of yards per attempt. So, it's been clear to me from what I've seen from them this year that they are very much reliant on other teams sometimes making mistakes and allowing, you know, bigger plays in the passing game, because they don't quite have, you know, a guy like Freeman to consistently be that running threat.
Yeah. That's a fair analysis. I wish I could sound more optimistic about the Falcons offense, which I think has the capacity to be very good. And normally I would look at this Ravens team and be like, okay, they can exploit this matchup and they can exploit this matchup. But given how they've played the last couple of games against lesser defenses, I'm just not particularly optimistic that they'll be able to figure it out this week. But maybe they will. We'll find out.
One thing I'll point out is this, you know, when you look at the Ravens, when they're at home, they play a lot more like their stats kind of give you, they play like a more complete team. When they're on the road, it doesn't matter if they're right down the street or across the country. We've seen this team just fail to show up completely, both on offense, defense, special teams, which, you know, Baltimore has been known for their special teams for the last decade under a former special teams coordinator in John Harbaugh, hasn't been getting it done this season. So, you know, it's difficult, again, to really kind of say what version of this Baltimore Ravens is going to show up. But, you know, if for Falcons fans, I'd be excited about the fact that Derek Carr and the broke down Oakland Raiders defense or offense put up 17 points on this team. I mean, they've been awful at protecting Derek Carr. That was a major note that we heard on last week's crossover episode. And then you know, every time that I've talked to anybody from covering the Raiders last week, it was, yeah, they have no shot. I mean, Derek Carr is going to get hit all game long. They have no wide receivers. The run game doesn't exist anymore. And then you look at that game and, you know, Doug Martin, the running back, averaging 4.6 yards a carry. You know, Derek Carr, while he got three sacks, again, we discussed that, you know, that was kind of a fluke. And you know, did fairly well, everything considered, put 17 points up against this team, despite it being in Baltimore. And again, you know, Baltimore being on the road has lost big games to the Cincinnati Bengals to open the, you know, closer to the season. They lost against the Cleveland Browns 9-12 in a game that even Cleveland didn't seem necessarily wanting to win. And then got just completely spanked by the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, for Ravens fans, I think, at least I'll speak for myself, I mean, Jacob maybe is different, but I think this is a game that is going to be huge for Ravens fans to really tell, is this team actually for real? Like, are they actually improving? Or do they just beat up on two teams that won't sniff the playoffs and don't really have a whole lot going for them in the Cincinnati Bengals and the Oakland Raiders right now? Or are there some concerns that just didn't disappear, but everyone's paying attention to the Lamar Jackson show and, you know, saying this team is suddenly a Super Bowl contender or a playoff contender because of the headlines?
I think it's fair. I think it's fair. I mean, you know, you play two teams that are, you know, very much trending downward at home with Lamar Jackson in at the helm. And, you know, it's not the toughest of openings for a rookie quarterback, and now we get to see him on the road. So, yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, it's probably – I mean, not that this is a great term that Falcons fans want to hear, but this is probably one of the better 4-7 teams. I mean, you know, you have to play the Saints twice already, and you open up the season against the defending champs, you know, on the road. I know they haven't been great this season, but – you know, it's still a tough environment to play that game in. And, you know, you get the Steelers on the road as well. So, you know, it's been a tough schedule for them, and they've lost a couple close games as well. So, you know, I think if, you know, we talk about last year being a year where Baltimore was 9-7, and if they had two plays changed differently for them, they would have been 11-5 and, you know, talking about home field advantage down the stretch. You know, that obviously didn't happen, but this is a game where just a few tiny plays can really, you know, change the entire outlook on your season. And I think that has kind of happened to Atlanta. So, they're 4-7, but I think they're probably only a few plays away from being 7-4. So I think it'll very much be a good test for them, for Baltimore on the road this week.
I think this will be interesting to see if the Falcons can find a way to exploit somebody in the Ravens secondary. And I know that's been a big part of why they've had some success early in the season, particularly with sort of all the attention that Julio Jones gets and having Mohamed Sanu in the slot and sort of that third corner or whoever it was covering Calvin Ridley. And they were able to find a lot of success early in the season targeting that sort of the weakest link in the opposing team's secondary and trying to exploit matchups with whether it was Ridley or Julio or Sanu against that player. And I'm curious to sort of see if they can try to do that against the Ravens. I know Tavon Young's dealing with some injuries. I know, you know, I'm curious from your guys' perspective, maybe who is that cornerback that the Falcons might be able to find some success picking on this week?
Well, I mean, for me, and it's something that, you know, we're going to try to maybe cover a little bit more later on this week, it is Jimmy Smith. I mean, Pro Football Focus, while you're right, I mean, take everything that they say with a grain of salt. Grading football is not as easy as – it's not black and white. It's not it's not success or failure. Sometimes there's shades of gray in there. But they've got Smith's grade right about right. I mean, he's a 55.3. He's been bad this season. And I don't know – you know, obviously coming off that Achilles heel injury last year, you know, showed up a lot quicker than everyone expected him to. Realistically, now's about the time when he should be returning to practice, not or returning to games, not necessarily starting week one had he not had that suspension. So I wonder if he's still kind of hurt, if he's still a little sluggish, because he's not being as physical. He's not being as quick twitchy as he used to be. And what that's resulted in is, you know, Baltimore's still putting him out there like he's a top cornerback, and it necessarily hasn't worked out all that well for him in coverage. I mean, he's getting beat on quick passes and then not doing a great job of wrapping up tackles. So plays are going for a little bit longer than they should be. Now, I mean, he's improved a little bit over the last few weeks, but again, you're looking at a Cincinnati Bengals team without A.J. Green. You're looking at an Oakland Raiders team with Jordy Nelson being their top wide receiver. You know, just not necessarily the cream of the crop for him, and he still had, you know, some issues. He still, you know, has been letting up about 70%, 75% of the passes thrown his way, and you know, could be doing a lot better. So if I'm Julio Jones and I see Jimmy Smith across from me, I'm running a hot route that's just straight.
Okay. All right, guys, still more to discuss with this Falcons-Ravens matchup. But if you guys are looking ahead to the 2019 offseason, as I know many of you are, particularly Falcon fan listeners, you can check out the two draft-related Locked On podcasts on this network, including Locked On NFL Draft Podcast with hosts John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema, the Draft Dudes podcast with hosts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. Find them both wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, as well as thedraftnetwork.com, a website that includes those guys and many other people's written content related to the 2019 draft in college football. Your team every day.
All right, Aaron. Well, you know, let's turn the script a little bit. We talked a lot about the Atlanta Falcons offense and what they've got going for them. You know, I'm sure you have questions, obviously, with the Lamar Jackson era seeming to start here in Baltimore, about this kind of weird resurgence for Baltimore's offense and you know, maybe what they can go ahead and do against a not-so-great Atlanta Falcons defense.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the one big question I'm curious, at least from the Falcons' perspective, is how are they going to try to defend Lamar Jackson, right? The you know, the sort of traditional way is to play a lot of zone coverage and have every defender have their eyes on the quarterback. So when those times when he does break out and run, you have a greater chance of having multiple defenders rally to the ball to try to slow him down. But I also think the Falcons could potentially get away with playing a lot more man coverage in this game and playing some cover one and using, you know, their middle linebacker to spy him. But I think a big part of that is going to be determined by whether or not Deion Jones returns this week to the lineup, who's missed every game since week one and sort of was activated to the roster a couple of weeks ago, but has been sort of held out. And there are some positive signs that he will return this week, but there have been some positive signs the last couple of games that he would return, and that wasn't the case. And with Jones's speed, I think you can feel reasonably confident that he can do a pretty good job spying Lamar Jackson. But any other option that the Falcons really have probably just isn't a good plan for that, so you would probably see them play a lot of zone, and that will open up opportunities for the Ravens to really sort of pick them apart, because they just haven't been a pretty effective defense on throughout the season. They don't really get pressure on the quarterback. They don't really stop the run all that well. Their coverage has been down this season. Their tackling has been iffy. You know, the only really positive spot that's been reliable this season has been the play of free safety DeVante Casey, who's leading the NFL with six interceptions as a replacement for starter Ricardo Allen. But unless he's picking off passes, like, they're really not getting a whole lot of stops. So I'll be curious to sort of see if how the Falcons defend Lamar Jackson, but I think a lot of it is contingent on Deion Jones. And really at this point in the season, given how poorly the Falcons defense has played throughout this 2018 season, we're all at a point, at least in among Falcon fans, that basically we're now building Deion Jones up to be a savior for this defense, because it's really the only chance that we have to not be the worst defense in the league. Like, we're just trying to be like the 24th best defense in the NFL. If we can be that, like, that's, that gives us a fighting chance to win some games instead of being the 32nd best defense. So,
yeah, I mean, I'll say this, you know, again, just like the defense, we don't really know which version of this team is going to show up. I mean, playing the last 2 weeks, You know, they came out week 11 following the bye with Lamar Jackson as their starter, and then proceeded to run him 26 times. And then the next week, maybe they heard a little bit of what people were saying and went, all right, well, they don't think Lamar Jackson can throw the football. So here he is in the first half throwing it 18 times compared to Gus Edwards getting the ball 8 times on the ground. You know, who knows, man? I don't trust Marty Morningwig to put together a game plan of the offensive coordinator for Baltimore to put up a game plan that makes any sense. So we could see them go ahead and throw every single play in the first half and then run it every single play in the second half. Or we could see some semblance of balance. But my guess is if I'm the offensive coordinator, if I'm Marty Morningwig, that makes 3 straight shows that I've, again, put that out there that I should be the offensive coordinator. If I'm Marty Morningwig, I just run Gus Edwards right down Atlanta's throat every single play. Don't let Lamar Jackson, I mean, again, have some balance, but don't let Lamar Jackson take over this game one way or another when you have a defense that just is bad. I mean, looking at Atlanta's defense, I mean, the stats speak for themselves, but this is a team that you should be able to just out physical from an offensive standpoint. I mean, you've got an offensive line that's maulers. You ask them to line up one-on-one, you know, put a hat on a hat, you're probably going to win this game by a decent margin just offensively. Again, well, you know, the defense is its own thing, but that's what I would do. And then you throw it occasionally. You don't ask Lamar to go ahead and do a ton with the football. It's either throw it away if it's not there or make the obvious throw. You take a few deep shots just to keep Atlanta from putting all 11 players right at the line of scrimmage. But, I think a lot of people are making too much out of Lamar Jackson starting from a defending it standpoint. You know, Baltimore's biggest aspect so far has been just Gus Edwards consistently getting the football. And that's kind of been the thing that's wore out both Oakland and Cincinnati these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd expect we talk a lot about on our show, you know, balance and how important it is. And I think that will be kind of the, you know, like I said, the deciding factor. I don't see as much balance on this side of Atlanta. I think Tevin Coleman's a good back, but, I just don't think this is a Baltimore secondary that will consistently throughout 4 quarters make enough mistakes. So I think they'll come ahead in this one by maybe 6 or 7 points.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it too. I mean, I don't think you're going to ask Lamar Jackson to do too much. He threw 2 kind of bad interceptions last week that, you know, not necessarily awful. I mean, you're wondering why you're running Michael Crabtree on a deep route for some reason when, I mean, Michael Crabtree is a rookie. He wasn't a deep route receiver. And then one of them was just Jackson trying to force the football in there. And it happens. He's a rookie. That makes sense. But with like the playoffs legitimately on the line, I don't know why you would go ahead and do that and ask Lamar Jackson to throw 25, 30 times in a game where you should be able to successfully run it with Gus Edwards just playing power O football. But again, I'm putting nothing past Marty Morningwig in this offense to see what they can't do to screw that up. But we'll if everything plays out the way I expect it to, I see Baltimore winning by, you know, 7 points.
Yeah, I feel like the Falcons' best defense is going to be their offense, and they need to get off to a fast start so they can take Baltimore's running game out of the equation and hopefully get Lamar Jackson, force him to have to throw the ball 30, 40 times or whatever, and get him to make some rookie mistakes, even against this porous Falcons defense. So, but, you know, I haven't seen that from the Falcons the last couple of weeks. Maybe that means that they're due this week for a fast start now that they're at home playing in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's certainly possible. But I'll believe it when I see it at this point. And so I'm expecting the Ravens to probably win this one something like 24-23.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're all predicting a Ravens victory. We all spread a little bit differently in terms of that, but or in terms of the final line. But, yeah, I mean, again, if everything goes the way that it looks like it has the last few weeks for both of these teams, you know, Baltimore, again, should just be able to out-physical both sides. But, I mean, you're completely right, Aaron. If Atlanta can kind of get a strong start and not cough up the football, they'll be around this game all game long. I mean, Oakland was last week. Again, you look at that score and you say, well, 34-17. I mean, they must not have been around that far. A punt return and a fumble return for a touchdown. Well, you know, without those two things, suddenly it's a 3-point game against a 2-8 team, now a 2-9 team. You know, Oakland should have a lot more firepower than Atlanta should have more firepower than Oakland. So if they can stick around, you know, this very well could come down to a final drive for whoever has the football one way or another. And, you know, that's exciting football, regardless of what you're into or what team you're you know, voting for here. A game that comes down to a 2-minute warning where you're biting your fingernails, man, that is, you know, December football.
Yeah, I think for Falcon fans, regardless of how the game, the final outcome goes, I just think they just want to see the Falcons play well. That's all that they're really at this point in time, even if it's in a losing effort, at least to get the offense back on track to feel like, you know, what we saw earlier in the season, at least when they were losing, you know, games 37-36 or whatever it was. It was like, oh, well, you know, we did our best and we just got to clean up a couple of things. And I think that would be preferable to, I think, some of the things that we've seen the last couple of weeks. So we'll have to see. I think this should be a fun game, a fun matchup, and we'll see how it goes down for either team.
Well, part of me hopes that, you know, all of this Lamar Jackson starting this week is a ruse and Joe Flacco comes out there and it's Mr. Elite versus Matty Ice over there. And we get to relive this weird debate that we've been having for over a decade now, or for a decade now. And hopefully Joe Flacco puts up like 4 touchdowns and just confuses everyone here in Baltimore for what they should vote for.
We'll see. We'll have to see how that goes. Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath about that one, but we'll see.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. All right, guys. Well, this has been a fantastic show over here. And as always, you can follow us at the very least, myself at MatthewS_NFL, Jacob Troxel at Trox3, TROX3, and the Locked On Ravens podcast at Locked On Ravens. How about yourself, Aaron?
Yep, you can find me hosting the illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast every day, every week. On Twitter at FalcFans, FalcFans. And of course, you can find additional Falcons related content at falcfans.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this crossover episode. It was kind of nice going ahead and digging through both of these teams and what will be, and again, I think an exciting matchup for both squads.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Another crossover episode in the books. Appreciate Matt and Jacob for joining me for another one. If I sound beat down, then, you know, that's what happens when you're week 13 and your team has lost 3 straight. But we'll see what the Falcons do. I think they're more than capable of beating the Ravens. I thought that, you know, a month ago. I still think it today. I just, because we haven't seen it, like I'm basically this week I'm through with, you know, this is the week where the Falcons get it back. Like, this is probably because I don't think this is the week, or I'm not predicting it to be the week that the Falcons get it back. It'll probably be the week that the Falcons get it back. So, that, you know, that's the usual, you know, that's par for the course here on this podcast. When I think the Falcons are going to win, they lose. When I think they're going to lose, they win. So we'll see what happens. I think this Ravens team is a tough team that sort of, you know, fits the typical MO of teams that typically give the Falcons problems. And as I said, if the Falcons offense can't, you know, put up 24, 27 or more points this week, then I don't really expect them to have much of a shot at winning. And we'll have to see. You know, at least this week they actually have a legitimate excuse. They're facing one of the best defenses in the league, but unlike recent weeks, but we'll see how it goes. Like, again, I'm not trying to sit here and disparage the Browns or Cowboys or Saints, who, in all, I think two of those teams were top 10 in DVOA when we played them, and the other one was like top 15. So it's not as if they were crap teams. But anyway, I'm rambling at this point, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in for another crossover episode. We'll be back tomorrow. I guess we'll do another Q&A. Why not, right? So if you have additional questions, then you can send them in to me at email, is LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. The name of the Facebook and Twitter page for the podcast is Locked On Falcons, of course. You can send your tweets as well to Falcfans. Just let me know within the tweet that it is podcast related, and you can also leave a comment at Falcfans.com where the podcast is posted daily. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.